You're listening to Time Out Radio on 95.7 KDRT. My guest today on Time Out Radio is Scott Marsh, who is the sports marketing director at Sacktown Sports 1140 AM, and in addition to that is the UC Davis football and basketball play-by-play broadcaster.
Hastings, he'll hand off for Gilliam inside the 25, cuts outside to the 20, trying to get around the end, 15, 10, 5, and in! Touchdown, UC Davis! Gilliam from 29 yards out! And the Aggies go up 16-7.
So, Scott, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic, Rohan. You know, I've had a chance to hear some of the great guests you've had on the show, and I've wanted to be invited on the show for a long time, so I'm excited that you're having me.
Well, thank you so much, Scott, for taking the time to join me today. So, first off, when and how did you get into sports broadcasting?
Well, I think as a kid growing up, I was a sports fanatic. I absolutely loved every sport. And I was just the kid who would watch sports relentlessly. And I always loved the art of broadcasting. You know, growing up, I was a huge Dodgers fan. My family's from LA, even though I lived in Sacramento most of my life. So, of course, I listened to Vin Scully for so many years and Dick Enberg and all the sports he did. And, you know, I was always interested in broadcasting. And then in high school, when the Sacramento Kings moved from Kansas City here, of course, I became a huge Kings fan, and I would listen on the radio, you know, in that era. And Rohan, you can't even relate to this. You don't even know what I'm talking about. It sounds like I'm an alien from space, but a lot of the games weren't on TV. So you really could only listen to a lot of games on radio. And I fell in love with Gary Gerald, who is the play-by-play voice of the Kings and still is ready to enter his 38th season. And I remember thinking in high school, boy, if I could be Gary Gerald someday, that would be the greatest career ever. So I always had that in my mind. And then when I went to UC Davis, I made a really great decision to get involved at KDVS, which is kind of the college equivalent of what you're doing right now at 95.3 KDVS. And so I worked my way up. I eventually became sports director, and I was starting to call all the Aggie football, basketball, baseball games. And that's kind of when I knew that broadcasting was something I really wanted to pursue.
Yeah. And did you play sports at all in high school or college, or were you just a fanatic? Like,
no, I played sports all throughout my life. You know, I was one of those people who, you know, if I could have been an athlete first, I certainly would have been an athlete. You know, I played a lot of soccer as a kid growing up, baseball. I am left-handed. So, you know, I played a lot of first base. I was a pitcher, center fielder. I played basketball throughout high school. In fact, when I went to UC Davis, I tried out my first year for the team. And that's when the Aggies had both a varsity and a JV squad. And I probably would have made the JV squad, but I made that decision at that time that as a freshman, you know, I might be better off pursuing my broadcast goals and trying to call some of these games versus trying to work my way up as a player. You know, I love tennis. I play golf religiously now. So I am definitely a sports fanatic.
And you're currently a sports broadcaster at the radio station Sacktown Sports 1140 AM, KHDK in Sacramento. So what do you think is like a unique skill that has helped you become such a successful sports broadcaster?
Well, first of all, thanks for saying I'm a successful sports broadcaster. I appreciate that. I don't know if I have any unique skill. I think some of the things I try and keep in mind that maybe I try to stand out, and I'm sure a lot of broadcasters do this, and certainly a lot of ones that I emulate and really like, I know they do as well. Three things. I try to keep it simple. I always try to think that I'm talking to somebody who is a fan, but not a rabid fan. So I try not to get into the weeds too much. If I'm calling a football game, I try not to get into too much formation talk or technical terms. I'm trying to keep it so my mom can listen to the game, which she does. And I appreciate that. You know, I want the common person who isn't necessarily that X's and O's person to really feel like they're invited into the broadcast. I try to bring my sense of humor and my personality into it because that's what's unique about me. You know, you have your style as an interviewer and a broadcaster. And as you grow into your career, you're going to find your niche, and that's what's going to make you successful. And that's what I try to do too. I try to bring in my sense of humor into the broadcast. And then probably the most important quality, and this is true of, I think, most broadcasters, is just your perseverance and your persistence to pursue a career, because it's a unique field. There's not a lot of jobs. They're highly coveted. And, you know, without that persistence and willingness to go an extra mile, you know, it's going to be very difficult to make it in the field.
Mm-hmm. And have you faced any setbacks at all as you started your career in sports broadcasting? And if so, how were you able to overcome them?
That's a great leading question, right? Following up on what I just kind of said. I mean, I've faced a lot of setbacks, as anybody in the career would. You know, there were jobs I was told I was going to have, only to find out that actually I didn't have them. You know, going for jobs and not getting them. Just so many things that you have to fight through. And of course, when you're starting out, you start on the lowest rung possible. You know, you think when you graduate, you're going to become the star broadcaster, and you know, you're working behind the scenes as a producer, and you know, working some engineering on the control boards, and you know, reporting, and just all these other things. So, you know, definitely I have lived the grind. I have faced a lot of setbacks. And, you know, again, that's where perseverance comes through. And that's true of so many things in life. And that's one of the things I love about this career. It's, you know, it's a metaphor for me in life and some of the things that you face, because if you pursue something that you love and you're totally dedicated to it, then it's the journey, it's the process. You don't necessarily focus in on the results or where you're at the moment. It's the fact that you love doing it so much.
And you've been the play-by-play voice for UC Davis football and basketball since 2007, and you're an Aggie yourself. You have a bachelor's in agriculture and managerial economics and a master's in business administration from UC Davis. So how does your business education help you in your work as a sports broadcaster?
Well, Rohan, you've done your homework. And, you know, one of the keys to being a good broadcaster is preparation. And I will just go back and say, I think a unique skill set, and again, this is not unique to me, but an important skill set of any broadcaster is the preparation that you do. It's, you know, getting ready for a football broadcast like I am this upcoming week as the Aggies take on Cal. It's all about getting to know the new players and putting together your board and, you know, all the preparation that goes into it. Because if you don't do that, then you're not going to be ready to call the game. You're not going to feel comfortable doing that. I will also say, and you're right, I started officially as the main commercial play-by-play voice for the Aggies back in 2007. So I'm going into year 17 here. Followed a guy named Steve Buzzard, who did it for roughly as many years before I did. But I will say this, I think I have probably called more UC Davis athletic events than any person in history. Because wow. As a student, I was calling games back in the 90s. I've done basketball longer than football. And so I'm over 20 years in terms of doing basketball at this point. And back in those days, the men and women played doubleheaders when they were back in the Division II era. So, and they would play on Friday and Saturday nights. So I was calling four games every weekend, the women followed by the men on Friday nights, travel to the next place, or if it's a home game, getting ready for the next night on Saturday for both of them. So I would have to go add them all up, but that's something I'm very proud of too, because I would put my total against anybody else. And I don't know if anybody would have more games than me on that. In terms of your question about my degree, when I went to UC Davis, I wasn't sure what I wanted to major in. So I thought a business degree would make a lot of sense. As most people find when you come to Davis, a lot of things have an ag tinge to them. And so the economics, which was more of the business degree, was under the agricultural department. So that's why I was an ag econ major. And when I was getting ready to graduate, I wasn't necessarily sure what I wanted to do, but I was working at the radio station at the time. And I had a professor who I had taken a couple business classes with, Laura Shepherd, who was a great mentor of mine. And he suggested, you know what, if you continue on to graduate school, you could TA for me in our personal finance and investment courses. And it'd be a good way for you to pay your way through school, get your MBA, and then give you a couple more years to really figure out what you want to do. So that's exactly what I did. And so as I was in graduate school, I was sports director at the radio station as well, and really finding my stride with that. And so by the time I graduated from the MBA program, I was ready to go out, and I decided to not pursue a traditional MBA job in a finance department at Intel, or in that case, Hewlett Packard was big. I instead decided to go into sports, and I got hired by our sports station, Sacktown Sports 1140, and then eventually with the Kings. how they tie together. You know, the world of sports is all about business. You know, and I think the one thing that I keep in mind so much is that, you know, sports are huge dollar enterprises. And as broadcasters, you need to be able to award those sponsors and make sure that you're reading the lines right for the sponsors and doing all of those things, because these broadcasts, they're for the fans and they're for the listeners out there, but they're equally as much about the sponsors who are spending money to support the program. And so I always keep that in mind, and I'm always very client friendly. And of course, working as a sports marketing director, it's helped me put together packages and understanding what marketing people need in broadcasts and how broadcasters need to sell that for companies who are supporting the broadcast.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk about your time at KDVS, UC Davis's student runs radio station. So what's like specifically a story that you covered while at KDVS that stands out the most to you?
Oh man, there are a lot. I had so much fun as a student broadcaster at KDVS. I will say in 1995, the baseball team made the College World Series, the Division II series, not the one in Omaha, but this was in Montgomery, Alabama. And so I got to travel back with the baseball team and cover all those games for the Division II World Series for a week back in Montgomery. And that was a lot of fun with Coach Swimley, the great baseball coach at the time at UC Davis, and had a blast doing that. Football-wise, you know, one year the Aggies won the conference championship on a fumble rooski, which is now outlawed in the game of football as they upset Sonoma State at home with the great coach Bob Foster. And that was absolutely fantastic as a student. In terms of basketball, you know, just being around, I love the game so much. And it was so fun to be inside and working with Coach Bob Williams, who I now do some of the TV games with. Also for ESPN Plus for the university, and just being around that was fantastic. And maybe the most fun I had as a college broadcaster is Jeff Hertz, who is at the program now and does high school broadcasts. He's got his own internet company that does California high school broadcasts. We formed a show called Aggie Talk, which is still on the air at KDVS. And that started in the 90s. And myself and Jason Ross, who works at the station now, Eric Hasseltine, who is a broadcaster, used to play voice for the Memphis Grizzlies. We all were involved in that. And just looking back and doing some sports updates and having that show, it was a great time.
In addition to all your work that we just talked about, especially at KDVS, you're also the game night host before Kings games and the co-host of the Golf to Go Hour at Sactown Sports. You have a really like versatile skill set as a broadcaster covering multiple sports. So are there any resources that have helped you in this journey in sports broadcasting?
Yeah, you know, I've been lucky to just have opportunities. I don't know if it's resources so much, but Ian Eagle, who I had a chance to meet and talk to and get to know a little bit, he always told me a story that just really formulated my game plan for sports broadcasting. And he was growing up, and when he graduated from Syracuse and he got a job at WFAN, the big sports station in New York, he was just taking every opportunity he could. One day he got called up by CBS and they needed a broadcaster for a boxing match. He's never called a boxing match. You know, I'm sure he's watched a couple, but didn't know the ins and outs or anything like that. And the CBS producer said, you know, Ian, have you ever done anything with boxing? And he goes, yes, sir, I have. I've done a ton of boxing. I'm ready to go. Sure enough, he got the call. He prepped. He did a great job. And that led him into his great career now doing NBA, you know, for national TV and CBS football and all the great stuff. So my philosophy is that you just dig in and you can prepare yourself. It's the tougher part to get the job. So, you know, in terms of the game night show that I host, obviously I've been following the Kings for a long time in the NBA. So I had that skill set and getting to work with Henry Turner, former player, picking his brain. That's all a great part of it. And then with golf, I am an avid golfer, you know, so I use that background towards the show. And Frank LaRosa, who's kind of Mr. Golf in our area from Northern California, has been great to work with and allowing me to be a part of the show. I've really enjoyed it.
All right, so now let's talk a little bit about UC Davis football in general.
Let's do it.
Yeah, so let's just call this a UC Davis football season preview. Okay. September 3rd, this upcoming Saturday, is the opener at Cal. I'll get more into how they have, you know, a horrendous schedule. They have some really tough games coming up throughout the season, especially in Big Sky Conference play. But as this Saturday approaches, for UC Davis football fans, what is there to expect?
Well, it's going to be really interesting for UC Davis this year. As you mentioned, the schedule is really hard for the Aggies, especially to open up the year. I mean, you're at Cal, and then you go to South Dakota State, who is ranked number 3 in the country at the FCS level. You come back home, you play a very underrated, but always a very, very good opponent in your University of San Diego, who has turned out multiple NFL players, and that's never an easy contest. Mm-hmm. And then you've got to play Weber State at home to open up the Big Sky contest. They're a perennial Big Sky conference champion, a team that makes the tournament. So no easy task there. And then you have to go to Montana State, who was in the FCS finals against North Dakota State last year with a returning quarterback who many think could win the Walter Payton Award for the best offensive player in the country. So that is a devastating start to the season. For the Aggies, the biggest questions at quarterback. They've had a spirited battle at the quarterback position. By all accounts, I think Miles Hastings, who ended last year as the starter, will come back as the starter this year, but he's got a lot to prove. You have an All-American in the backfield with the Alonzo Gilliam. You're going to rely on that run game. And then you got to find your other All-American, McCallan Castles at tight end. You really have to use him in the pass game. So we'll see what they'll be able to get done offensively. And then defensively, they bring back a lot of players, but they also did lose Jordan Perryman, who may have been the best player on the team. He's up at Washington now. He transferred. And by all accounts, he's one of the best players on the Huskies right now, both sides of the ball. So that's a big loss. We'll see how they can fill that at the corner. But overall, I'm very optimistic. Coach Dan Hawkins is excited about this team. He loves this team. And, you know, I think he feels like this is a team that can really live up to its top 20 preseason billing.
Yeah, according to FCS top 25 preseason rankings, they're at number 25, and in other polls, you know, pretty much around that area. Yep. But I want to talk a little bit about that schedule. You mentioned at Cal this upcoming Saturday, they could play like, you know, their A game and still start off the season. You're looking at 1-4 possibly just because of how hard the schedule is. So what do you think that like they need to do to like, you know, set off the season on the right foot? Because they could easily fall into a big hole here.
There's no question. I mean, they could play great and be 1-4 after the 5 games. They have to get off to a quick start. There's no doubt. And you go down to Cal, and I mean, of course, the team expects to win. Nobody else expects them to. If they don't win at Cal, it's not going to make or break their season. But you want to at least build momentum there. And last time UC Davis played at Cal, they were very competitive against Cal, 38-24. There was a very controversial late hit call when the Aggies had gotten the stop, would have gotten the ball back with a chance to tie the game late in the second half. So first game of the year, you don't know what Cal's going to bring to. Chase Garbers, their quarterback, is now trying to make an NFL roster. Their star defensive lineman just been announced that he's going to miss another season with a knee injury, and that's devastating for the Bears. So maybe you catch them off guard in week one. But whether you win or lose, it's not important. You just need to play well and obviously not get injured. You go to South Dakota State, that's the real challenge on the road against Jackrabbits. You got to be playing at 100% in week two and see what you can do there. You must win at home against San Diego. And in my mind, you've got to at least split Weber State and Montana State, you know, because you can't go 0-2 to start the Big Sky and realistically think you're going to recover from that and have a great chance of winning the Big Sky Championship.
Yeah, for sure. And let's talk about this quarterback battle a little bit. I mean, throughout spring camp, there's six quarterbacks on the roster who have all been fighting for a potential, you know, starting job. Yep. You know, you said the nod might go to Miles Hastings because you know, he has experience and he's been playing. He started most of the games last year after, you know, an injured and banged up Hunter Rodriguez, who's now moved on. But he didn't have, you know, the greatest of seasons last year. He certainly, you know, the numbers kind of tell the story. He's had some struggles just to keep the offense moving. What do you want to see from Miles, if he does get the nod this upcoming Saturday?
I want to see him take ownership of the offense. And, you know, last year we have to be fair because he jumped in and really saw his first action at the Weber State game. And all he did in that one series when Rodriguez went down just led the team to a game-winning touchdown. So that said a lot about his character. And that needs to be said. I mean, Davis had a great year last year. It didn't end great for them because they ended up with those three losses. They had a lot of injuries, to your point. You know, Lyles had some really good moments. And him and McCallum Castles, that was a good combination last year. He did a really good job of finding Castles. And so, obviously, that's going to be a primary target for him. But I think the biggest thing is Hastings has to take ownership of the team. He needs to set down, if indeed he is the starter week one, that he is the starter. Because, you know, I don't know if you've heard the adage, this is an old adage, Rahan, but if you have six quarterbacks, you don't have one. So he's got to be the guy. Because ultimately, you don't want to be shoveling out quarterbacks here and there. We know Trent Tompkins is going to play some quarterback because he's a great athlete in the wildcat formations and all those things that they'll have for him in packages. But you need Hastings to be that guy. So more than anything else, I want him to take that leadership role. And I want to see right away that it's his team. And you can tell that by the way he's acting out on the field.
Certainly the bread and butter of this offense is Yulonzo Gilliam. And I'm sure that they're going to, you know, rely heavily on the ground game, especially with a good offensive line.
Sure.
He was voted preseason Big Sky, you know, MVP. This basically means he needs to show up and have a big season and prove that, you know, he is going to ultimately the Big Sky MVP. So what does he need to do to, proof that he's an elite running back and maybe even next season land a job in the NFL.
Yeah, I don't know if he has to prove anything because he's proven so much to this point. He's going to end his career at UC Davis being the all-time leading rusher and certainly the all-time leading receiver out of the backfield. And he could possibly become the all-time leading receiver in terms of number of receptions too. So he's in the top 10. So that's the versatility that he has. Obviously, the Aggies need him to have an MVP caliber season. And as you said, they have a great returning offensive line. You have Connor Pettick leading the way at center, and you have Jake Parks back on the O-line as well. You've got a pretty good deal. I mean, there's a lot of experience up there on that front line that Yulonzo is going to run through. And the nice thing about the Aggies, they have depth at running back too. Lane Larison had a great breakout season last year. The freshman, the rodeo wrangler from Idaho, he's a guy who's explosive, is going to help in the backfield. So they have some talent where hopefully Yulonzo won't just get worn down throughout the season. That's the one thing you worry about him. But he definitely has the ability to carry the Aggies on his back. And you're right, if he has a great season and the Aggies can push towards the Big Sky Conference Championship, he's definitely going to get some looks at the next level.
Mm-hmm. And we've been focusing a lot about this offense, you know, who's going to be quarterback and obviously this great offensive line and the star running back. But let's talk a little bit about the defense. I mean, you mentioned earlier Jordan Perryman, who I think led the team in tackles as a cornerback last year, transferred to Washington. Obviously great for him. But not so great for, you know, this defense. So what's now there to expect? Obviously, there's a lot of good return people returning on the defensive end. But what's there to expect?
Yeah, no, it's a great point because you can't replace your best player, you know, and you just have to accept that going in. Now, the depth of the Aggie defense hopefully will shine. It is certainly the linebacking crew, Cam Trimble being back. He's had a great fall camp, but he's going to be the leader, an anchor on that defensive side of the ball. And Chiba Maye plugging up the center and nose guard certainly helps too. Nick Eaton is a guy I really want to see have a breakout season. He's the type of guy who I think has the ability to have 7 to 10 sacks as that rush end guy. And I really want to see him have just an explosive year for UC Davis. But, again, they're going to be tested on the defensive side of the ball. The Big Sky, sometimes it becomes who scores more points, you know, because everybody's playing this up-tempo offense. The Big Sky is the best conference at the FCS level. It's going to be a week-in, week-out challenge for Matt Coombs, the defensive coordinator. And we'll see how they stack up. But it certainly will be interesting without Jordan Perryman back there, who becomes the leader in that secondary.
Yeah, and definitely, and as you know, I'm flipping through the schedule. Like this is the Big Sky Conference, you know, one of the top conferences in FCS football. So even though some of these games, like, you know, Northern Arizona, Northern Colorado, Cal Poly, looking through the schedule, you know, they, while they may seem like, you know, lower tier, you know, a little bit weaker teams, you simply cannot like take them lightly. And you have to go in there, you know, playing your best game. Otherwise, you know, you might not walk out of there with a W. So for the first time in years, it seems like forever, that the Aggies aren't playing Eastern Washington, who's had their number every time. You know, Aggies have yet to beat them. So at least you have that relief, but you still have to play, you know, Cal, South Dakota State, you know, Weber State, perennial Big Sky team. And then along with Montana State, you have to play Sac State in every year in the Causeway Classic. So basically half of their schedule is against either, you know, Cal, an FBS team, which is, you know, automatically a higher tier team. And you're playing, you know, teams that are currently ranked in the FCS. So let me just end off of this with my question. You know, it's a really tough schedule. Where do you see this team finishing realistically?
Well, I think realistically, you know, this team could be as good as 8-3, and maybe if all things go right, maybe this team's 9-2, and certainly that's good enough to get into the FCS playoffs. And 9-2 would be good enough to maybe win the Big Sky outright, certainly tie for a conference championship. I mean, the ceiling is high. This team has the ability to win the Big Sky championship. Now, having said that, there's a lot of great teams in the Big Sky. We didn't even focus on Sacramento State, who the last 2 years have been Big Sky champs, and they've got a lot of returners on the offensive side of the ball. That Causeway Classic could be for all the marbles, and that's what I hope for as a broadcaster. I hope both schools go into that game at 10-0, and that game is for everything. I think the community would love that. It would be such a great hype to have that be the premier FCS game that week. But, you know, having said that, that's going to be another very challenging matchup. You know, if things get off to a slow start, the Aggies will just have to get through that adversity, right? And weather the storm in the first 5 weeks that we talked about and take advantage of the middle portion of the schedule. No cupcakes, but once you get past week five, there are some winnable games, and they're all winnable games, but there's games on there that the Aggies should win, you know, looking at it right now. And you got to run the table in that stretch of the season, because once you do finish out and you get towards the Causeway Classic, it gets very difficult again.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Scott, for joining me on Timeout Radio. We'll see how the season starts. Obviously, you're going to be going to Berkeley next week, right, for the UC Davis-Cal game. Kickoff at 1 o'clock, I think. Let's see how the Aggies do. I'm obviously hoping for another great season and hopefully playoff bound. And good luck to your broadcasting this season, radio away games as well as home games on ESPN+. So good luck, Scott.
Thank you very much, Rohan. I have to say it is a pleasure to be on with you today. You're doing a great job, and I look forward to you one day doing great big things and working with you in the industry. Or you taking my job at some point. Who knows what might happen. So congratulations to you, and thanks for having me on.
Yeah, that's Scott Marsh, who's the play-by-play broadcaster of UC Davis football and basketball, and as well a broadcaster at Sacktown Sports 1140.